You're listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Thanks to our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin for making this happen, for supporting KFUO and the Coffee Hour. CUW.edu is their website. Find them also in the sponsor section at KFUO.org. We get to travel around the world.
We do.
I'm so excited. I know. From my seat right here in the studio. We get to travel around the world.
Well, I think the world is coming to us, actually.
You're right. The world at your door. That's a slogan from something.
Something. What's it
from?
I don't know.
Missionaries. I love missionary stories. I know that Sarah does too, almost as much as, if not more, than when we talk about the hymnal. So
maybe more. I don't know. That's pretty close.
Today we head to West Africa. Area director for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the Reverend Gary Schulte. Pastor Schulte, good morning.
Good morning. It's good to be with you.
Thanks for coming in studio today and sharing with us about the Lord's work in West Africa. An area director. What does an area director do? Do you direct a whole area?
Well, quite a big area, actually. I spend a lot of time traveling. I am the ambassador of the Synod to, I think, 14 Lutheran church bodies of various stages of growth, many of them very new. In 13 different nations, 8 of them French-speaking, 5 of them English-speaking.
Wow. That's a big geographical region, too, isn't it?
It is, and I live in Ouagadougou, Burkina Faso, and my first year and a half of deployment, I was away from my home about 70% of the time.
Wow.
I believe the gospel is all about relationships, particularly in Africa. I wanted to first meet and greet with these church leaders and go spend 10 days with them, travel around with them, see their work. So I did an awful lot of traveling the first year and a half.
You mentioned languages, English being one of the languages, French another. And it's my understanding in Africa, there are many more languages than that that are...
Well, Burkina Faso is home to 100 local languages.
Wow.
Togo, where I used to work as a church planter and in other capacities, has 45. And Togo has less surface area than Missouri.
Do you know all of them?
Of course not. But I can greet in about 6 or 7, and I used to be fairly fluent in a northern Togolese language called Moba. Mm-hmm. But I'm finding coming back that I've lost a lot after a 14-year absence from Africa. But I'm hearing quite a bit, but it's hard to produce.
That's right. If I remember correctly, this isn't your first round as a missionary. Tell us a little bit about your background.
I went to Africa the first time as a 23-year-old, 1 year out of college, wet behind the ears layman. And it scared the beans out of me and my wife of 1 year at that time, Stephanie, and she cried for the first year we were there. It took a long time, but after a while, God used even me to do some service there. He sowed in my heart a love of the people there and a desire to give them Jesus Christ, because of their other religious traditions there are not only do they not lead to salvation, but they're just ugly, dark, and murderous in life and in the temporal realm. I'm speaking of the African traditional religion, for example, in Central Africa, where we are exploring new relationships with churches. You have people who are feeding off of the teachings of the witch doctor, which tells them to violate young girls to give them power in warfare. And they are very murderous in what they do. It's all based on these traditional animistic beliefs. And in entering into that same realm now are militant Muslims. And we just had an attack in the city I live in just about 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have Islam or traditional religion, or you have the Prince of Peace and his kingdom being spread. Which would you rather have?
So many years of serving as a layman, as a missionary, and learning so much about these people, about their culture, and growing a love for these neighbors. Coming back to the States, if I remember correctly, it's been a while since we've talked. You came back to the States for some education, is that right?
I did. It was second career pastor. I went to the seminary, and I'll give a plug to the place where I spent 10 years, Zion Lutheran Church of Hillsboro, Missouri. Greetings to all of you, my friends out there. I ended up serving there, started there as a vicar, and then became the called pastor a total of 10 years. But always in the back of my mind, as my kids were growing in America, someday when we have an empty nest, I'm going to go back. It's where my heart really is.
And not only education for you, if I remember correctly, Mrs. Schulte also continued her education during that time. Is that right?
She did, Steph. One at a time. I finished SIM, started my pastoral ministry, and Steph went to nursing school and was a nurse on the sixth floor, the trauma floor of Barnes Hospital for 6 years. And again, with a view toward bringing those skills mm-hmm. back to Africa, which she just finished 6 days with a Mercy Medical team in Sierra Leone, the second one yeah. ever in West Africa. So I'm very proud of her.
Yeah, those Medical Mercy teams are pretty incredible.
They are. I have never been a part of a more tangible, powerful, all day long, 14 hours a day, every day for 5 days, display of God's mercy. It's so moving, it wears you out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What was your journey back into the mission field then? What called you back?
Well, I contacted the mission board, told them I was interested in going back to teach, which is what I wanted to do. My passion in ministry has always been teaching. And just with some changes, the other area director stepped aside. They needed, with all the new missionaries out there, I was an experienced hand coming on. And was able to give some counsel to new missionaries, and they needed a leader, and they asked me to do it. I didn't want the job. I still don't want it, but I see the need for it, and I am finding a lot of joy in it. It's like a second honeymoon for Steph and me. We're traveling the world together. She often accompanies me because she has legitimate ministry to do herself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With your ministry in Africa, and your working across such a wide geographical area, how do you see God working through those people that you get to meet and work with?
Oh, just in amazing ways. I gave you the context of the Congo with the ugliness of the Mai-Mai terrorists and the Muslim incursions. Seeing people thirst for God's, the purity of God's word. Not just any Christianity that's in the region, because unfortunately a lot of it is just so watered down. Mm. Christ is hard to find in it, but we give a clear proclamation of the Christ and put him at the center of everything, and he is awakening in the hearts of these leaders of these young churches just a strong desire to know him better.
Yeah. How open are people to hearing the gospel?
Much more so than in the Western world, but you have to be careful. Because you are a wealthy Westerner coming into a very impoverished situation, what are their motivations for wanting to know you?
Mm-hmm.
You have to be careful. You cannot lead with money and lots of it. When the average yearly income is about $200 a year, think of the potential destructive impact of bringing a $10,000 project into that area. That's like giving you the car keys to a $80 million car and say, here, have your way with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How have you learned to, have you adapted to life in a different culture, in a different economy? granted, you lived there for several years before, and your first round as a missionary, now coming back.
I think most people find it hard to believe, but I actually prefer living there. That was part of it.
Mm-hmm.
We love the simplicity of life in Africa. We love living below our potential. There's just something blessed about that. We don't have all the amenities of America. The internet doesn't work that great. There's a lot of suffering and poverty. It's hot, sickness. But we, bearing a cross for the sake of the kingdom, there's a satisfaction of the heart that comes with that. And I'm not saying that in some kind of works righteous way. It's amazing. God gives you the desires of your heart. And you're living in Ouagadougou is not many people's desire, but it's mine.
It's become home, it sounds like.
Yeah, it has. It has. And we had the option of choosing any capital city in the region. We talked about that with our bosses at the Office of International Mission. We proposed to them Ouagadougou. It's not the best in every way. It doesn't have the most flights into the airport. But Burkina Faso is actually a combination from the two major languages in the country of a word from each language. And it means people of, what do you call it, honesty or integrity.
Hmm.
And the Burkina Bay, more than anyone in region, really try to live up to that. There's less political corruption when you at a police stop or whatever. They're They just do their job. They're not asking for a bribe. They're very, very kind people. Even though Islam dominates in that country, one of the reasons they are being attacked is because they have a softer version of Islam, which is called Sufi, which mm-hmm. is in most of the region. Mm-hmm. And the more intense Muslims do, you know, hate that as much as they hate Christianity and mm-hmm. its representatives.
You mentioned earlier some very young churches, budding churches in Africa that you get to work with. Tell us about those relationships and building those relationships with those young churches.
Well, a lot of them are just their old friends. When we did our initial evangelism in the region, it was primarily with men in their 20s. I was a man in my 20s. Now we're men in our 50s, and I still know these guys. Now, Central Africa is different. The LCMS did not plant those churches. The Lutheran Church of France and its president, he was a mighty man of mission. Dr. Wilbur Kreis, who's now in heaven with his Lord, just into the Congo, made 48 two-week visits to teach theology.
Wow.
Imagine that, 48. And he came to Togo a lot, too, and went to other places. In fact, when he passed from this earth, he was in a hotel room in Tanzania. Yeah. And so that was the genesis of the work down there. But, you know, not much of a built-up church yet, and they still need a lot of help. And so they're looking to the Missouri Synod for help. And I'm thinking, because the socioeconomic level is a little higher in Central Africa, you have urban dwellers who drive cars and have jobs and have a little bit more education, that these guys have potential. And in fact, the president of the Lutheran Church of Congo Brazzaville studied in Paris for 6 years under Dr. Kreis. It's people like that who are going to give us the professors of theology that can train their own leaders and hopefully work us out of a job. Yeah. I'm thinking that's going to come from these new relationships in Central Africa.
Absolutely. We have just a couple seconds left, but what's your biggest joy about doing this work?
My biggest joy is just being a part of the spreading of his kingdom. And I love crossing cultures. I'm kind of a language nut, and I love that I can do it with my wife. Like I said, it's the second honeymoon. We didn't see much of each other when she was going to nursing school and I was being a pastor. We spent a lot of time together traveling God's beautiful creation and seeing what he's doing to grow his kingdom.
The Reverend Gary Schulte, serving the Lord as West Africa Area Director for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pastor Schulte, thanks so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour.
My pleasure. It's good to be with you.
I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Goldman.